Well, waiting in the wings with me right now is Michael Mulligan of Mulligan Tam Pearson, because it's time for Legally Speaking. I know we're all mesmerized here with the thought of Al running to that music, but we're going to switch gears right now. How are you?
Well, thank you.
Yeah, nice to see you. Thanks a lot for coming in. This is really getting a lot of traction, this story. A veteran Victoria realtor, James Sidney Parsons, who's been accused of conduct unbecoming and is facing a 5-year license suspension. Michael, what do you make of this situation?
This was a decision of the Real Estate Council of British Columbia. Realtors in British Columbia are regulated by the Real Estate Council of BC. That organization is one of its tasks is to discipline or review complaints and determine whether realtors are deserving of discipline for breaching their rules.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things to remember about the role of a realtor in British Columbia is that they have particular duties to clients. A realtor is required to act in the best interests of their client. It's a fiduciary obligation. A realtor as well is obliged to act with reasonable care in making sure that their client's interests are protected. And the council in this case found that the realtor had essentially breached those obligations. He was found to have assisted a client in making an offer to purchase a leaky condominium where the listing was held by his son. The client was an inpatient at a psychiatric hospital. Mm-hmm. The real estate agent was found by the real estate council to have done things including having the client waive the right to have a inspection done on the condominium. So she wound up purchasing this condominium and then being saddled with a $54,000 bill to repair the leaky structure.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, it actually, there are a couple of angles to this. Obviously, the property was listed by Parsons' son. And so would that be a conflict of interest in that essence as well, Michael?
Yes, that would be one of the several difficulties that the Real Estate Council found with this transaction. When somebody like a real estate agent is acting for a client, one of the components of or the parts of acting in the client's best interest is that the real estate agent can't be doing things which are not in the client's interest but somehow benefit the real estate agent. So in this case, for example, the real estate agent's son would have received the benefit of the commission from the sale of this leaky condominium, much to the detriment of the real estate agent's own client.
Mm-hmm. And does it sound like there was prior knowledge that there was a problem with this condo, i.e. let's not do a building inspection?
That's what the real estate council found. They found that the real estate agent would have been aware of the problem as a result of an engineering report. And that was part of the difficulty. The agent in this case, I should say, the real estate council imposed a 5-year suspension, and that was to take effect immediately. However, the real estate agent in this case has elected to appeal the decision of the real estate council. And in British Columbia, we have a thing called the Financial Services Tribunal, which is a little-known organization where a person can appeal to if they're being disciplined by the real estate council.
And the realtor maintaining that he wasn't aware that the woman had been suffering mental health issues?
That's correct. The decision it indicates that he denied that he was aware that the client was an inpatient at the psychiatric hospital. The real estate council rejected that in part because they found that the real estate agent's son went to the psychiatric hospital and picked up the deposit check from the real estate agent's client at the hospital.
There's no way of not knowing. We're going to unwind this case some more when we come back. We're with Michael Mulligan of Mulligan Tam Pearson. Stay with us.
Email talk at cfax1070.com. Pamela McCall on CFAX 1070. When it rains, it pours. Or will it? We get it right with an accurate, up-to-the-minute forecast. If it's happening, it's here. Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070.
Tips from PowerSmart. Before using your new Energy Star washer, please remove the loose change from your pockets. Please double-check that you have emptied your change. Will you check properly? Please. Get up to $300 in rebates on selected Energy Star appliances until June 30. Before you buy, see which appliances qualify at powersmart.ca.
The source is the place for I want that. When you said, I want a new smartphone because I've dropped my current one 1,000 times. Who had all the best brands? The source. And when you said, I'm going to need a great case because I'm probably going to drop this one 1,000 times too. Who had it? The source. Get great smartphones and all the essentials, like the ultra-thin Mophie juice pack for protecting and charging your phone on the go. The source. I want that.
Shamrocks Lacrosse rocks Friday nights. Watch your Victoria Shamrocks defend their WLA title as they look to capture their ninth Man Cup at home.
Jackson's got the list. Oh, look out!
We bleed green.
This Friday at 7:45, the Shamrocks open the season against Nanaimo at the arena in Colwood, and the first 300 fans score free Red Barbecue Burgers.
Get tickets at victoriashamrocks.com or call 478-ROCK.
Have you ever heard someone say, that's the greatest thing since sliced bread? Island Bakery wondered, if sliced bread is one of the best inventions of all time, then what does that mean for certified organic grain bread? Available in 100% whole wheat, 12 grain or ancient 7 grain with quinoa and sunflower flax? If one of those fantastic breads was sliced, then would that be the best thing ever? Find out at Island Bakery, the island's local bakery since 1982.
Living at Coho offers a lifestyle unlike any other condo. You'll enjoy the privacy, views, and safety of an exclusive hilltop location. Inside, you'll find designer kitchens and spa-worthy bathrooms. Your downsizing dream home awaits you. Inquire today, as Coho is already 50% sold. With their last remaining one bedrooms priced at $199,900 and two bedrooms starting at $294,900, it's easy to make your dreams a reality at Coho. For hours and location, visit coholiving.com.
At Simon G Jewelry, we believe that a truly great piece of jewelry is the one that gets worn the most and one you and your loved ones will treasure for generations. For more than 30 years, that idea drives every piece we design. From working with metals whose colors will never change to the cut of every stone we set, no detail is too small. Come celebrate the best of life at
Palmera Jewelers at the corner of Ford and Broad and PalmeraJewelers.com.
CFAX Sunday, the biggest stories of the week, revisited with all your favorite hosts, Sunday morning at 8 on CFAX 1070. When you need to make sense of it, it's Pamela McCall on CFAX 1070.
Welcome back to Legally Speaking with Michael Mulligan of Mulligan, Tam, and Pearson. And Gord wants to join us with a question. Hi, Gord, you're on CFAX.
Yes, I wasn't able to hear your show last week when, Pamela, you said that you would ask Michael about the fellow who is throwing the obscenities at women broadcasters.
Right.
It's occurred to me that there's an increasing tendency towards charging people with theft of services when you consider the value of time and trouble. Just keeping the radio station media systems alive and manning them, for somebody to grab a microphone, you're essentially stealing for a certain period of time the function of the entire corporation. So I was thinking that that might be one area that the Toronto police chief might have been able to take a look at.
Interesting lateral thinking there, Gord. Let's put this to Michael Mulligan.
There is actually a criminal offense which would capture that concept. The offense would be one of mischief. If you do something to damage or make somebody's property less useful, if I come along and spray paint your wall or I turn my stereo up to 11 and leave it on all night, those things may wind up being mischief in the criminal sense. So there is at least that possibility.
And Michael, if we could remind Gord, and by the way, Gord, you can find that podcast on our website under my name. But when it comes to the decision not to press charges in this case of the Hydro One employee who was canned for making offensive remarks to the woman reporter.
Sorry, how that decision is made?
Yeah, they decided not to.
That's correct. In Ontario, unlike in BC, the police actually have the power to directly charge somebody with an offense. They conducted an investigation. They spoke to the reporter. And ultimately, in that case, the police in Ontario decided not to pursue criminal charges.
Thanks for your input, Gord. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, we're going to move back to the story we were talking about before, about veteran Victoria realtor James Sidney Parsons, who's been accused of conduct unbecoming and is facing a 5-year license suspension. Michael, we were talking about, off mic, about whether or not criminal charges could be laid in this case if this amounts to fraud. But you're saying it's more something that the board that's dealing with it has the power to do that. But when it comes to compensating this woman, what route could she take?
She would need to sue the real estate agent civilly. The real estate council, it has authority to discipline realtors, which is what they've elected to do here, to suspend him for 5 years. They've also ordered that he pay a fine of $10,000. And finally, that he pay enforcement expenses of $22,000 to the real estate council for the work they had to undertake to conduct the hearing and ultimately find that he had done these things. That doesn't provide any compensation to the woman, the client. Those things are designed to punish the real estate agent and to protect the public going forward by not having him continue to be a real estate agent. But if she wishes to get compensation for, for example, the cost of doing this remediation, which she...
Almost $60,000.
That's right. She would need to sue the real estate agent, and that might be framed in a breach of the fiduciary duty, which I mentioned earlier. Mm. And that's the duty of the agent to act in the interest of the client, not in their own interest.
He's fighting this. What do you make of that?
He is. There is an appeal mechanism set out in the Real Estate Services Act that creates that real estate council, where somebody, a real estate agent, has been disciplined. They have the right to appeal the decision to a body called the Financial Services Tribunal. And the way the Real Estate Services Act is drafted, once somebody appeals the decision, the decision is stayed or suspended until that tribunal reviews it and either confirms it or overturns it.
In anticipation of our session today, you've unearthed Supreme Court of Canada case pertaining to the duty of honest performance. Tell us about that.
Yes, this is an important case that people should know about in their sort of day-to-day conduct. The Supreme Court of Canada last year imposed or concluded that there is a duty of good faith performance, which is a component of contracts. Something less than the fiduciary duty that would apply to a real estate agent. When you enter into a contract with somebody, you're acting in your own interest. You're trying to buy a car or renew your lease or whatever it might be.
Right.
But the Supreme Court of Canada has found that there's this important obligation of good faith where people are in a contract, meaning that you couldn't, if you, for example, are lying to the other person while performing the contract or doing things to intentionally undermine the other party's legitimate interests, you may be in breach of the contract. So the Supreme Court has found that there is that general duty now applied to all people when they're entering into contracts. So people should know that now when they're entering into a contract or performing the contract. If you're lying to the other party or doing things to intentionally undermine their interests, you may be found in breach of your contractual obligations.
And what would the consequences be for that?
You might have to pay financial damages to the other party. In the Supreme Court of Canada case, it was a fellow who had a small business selling investment products. And the contract that he had a provision for an automatic renewal every 3 years. and the other party to the contract intentionally misled him about their intention to renew it to his detriment. And ultimately, the party that didn't act in good faith was ordered to pay damages to the person for acting in that way, lying to him, and intentionally undermining his best interest.
How difficult is it to prove that you've been lied to?
There can be evidentiary problems, and in the contract sense, that general duty to act in good faith is a lesser duty than, for example, a real estate agent or a lawyer or somebody else who has a fiduciary obligation to act in their client's best interest exclusively. The real estate agent, for example, is required to make decisions and give advice which would be in their client's interest, not their own. So, for example, a real estate agent, it would be improper for an real estate agent to, for example, recommend to a client they enter into a transaction that would be worse for them in order to, for example, increase their commission. That would be improper. Mm. For general individuals who don't have that special relationship, like a real estate agent to a client or a doctor and patient or a lawyer and
right.
their client, the Supreme Court has found that there is this general duty of good faith, which means that it doesn't mean you need to make every decision designed to help the other person entering into a contract with. But on the other hand, you now can't be doing things which are intentionally dishonest or calculated to undermine that other person's best interest. You need to be fair and reasonable in your dealings with somebody.
And what are people to do that believe that that's not happening? How do they go about recording transactions or people that aren't dealing in good faith?
Well, one of the things which would be wise would be to make sure that you've got things in writing. That's always avoids disputes, factual disputes. For real estate agents, for example, there are some duties that a person can agree to waive, but where those things occur, they need to be done in writing. So one of the things which would be wise generally in dealings with people, in addition to taking the advice to act in good faith and don't be intentionally undermining your obligations, would be to make sure that agreements are clear and in writing.
Clear and in writing. Wow. Well, I guess a shot across the bow with this case, a 5-year license cancellation by the Real Estate Council of BC. So we'll keep a close eye on this and see if the appeal has any traction. Thanks so much for your insight once again. Always nice to see you.
Thank you.
Been talking to Michael Mulligan of Mulligan, Tam, and Pearson. I'm Pamela McCall, and news is next.